You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
We were planning to do budgetary reactions with my next guest, that is Professor Adrian Saville, who is a professor at the Gordon Institute of Business Sciences, around his thoughts from the budget speech that would have been tabled earlier today. Unfortunately, because that speech has been postponed, we will have to take a slightly different direction in the conversation and look at the reasons that the postponement could have been driven, or the reasons that could have potentially driven the postponement, and the implications of a postponed budget. Nevertheless, Professor Saville joins me on the line now to take a look at this. Good evening, Prof. Lovely to catch up with you as always. I think you and I had a very different understanding of what this conversation was going to be compared to where it is now and where we stand now. We're in uncharted waters. This has never happened before.
Yeah, Jimmy, so it's great to be with you. Unprecedented, off the charts. And you know what really lands here is the last time you and I spoke, one of the things that we were kicking around was how in the world of capital markets, investment business, we need to position ourselves for uncertainty as opposed to risk. This morning, you know, we thought that there was a risk that, you know, tax rates might be moved, or that we'd have a dovish budget as opposed to a hawkish one, et cetera, et cetera. You know, that was all on the table. But the reality is we found ourselves in the world of uncertainty, i.e. unknowability, in that for the first time in our democratic era, no budget. And that wasn't factored into the equation. So here we are.
We do have a new date for that budget. That new date is said to be the 12th of March. It's about 3 weeks away. And one has to wonder between now and that time what conversations will be swirling around the parliamentary precincts and between the various members of the Government of National Unity, as we are calling it. Prof, how do we process the postponement today? Is it a show of weakness? How does the international community process that as well from a market's perspective? I mean, I saw the Rand losing about 1% in trade in the afternoon session, but how does the international community kind of make sense of this? Is it a good thing? Is it a bad thing?
Look, you know, so first, you know, my immediate reaction, you know, when you said, you know, how do we get some direction from this, was to go exactly where your head has gone, and to go and look at currency markets, you know, bond markets are another good place to go and get direction. Stock exchange, not such a great idea because it's not really that representative of South Africa. So we'll get, you know, the true pulse will come from bond markets and currency markets. Those have both gone, you know, modestly negative, but in the greater scheme of things, you know, the moves are hardly dramatic. At a time when you've got global uncertainty that's climbing a vertical wall, the U.S. Policy Uncertainty Index is at levels last seen at the time of global financial crisis and COVID. You don't want to be adding this into the pot. So this is not a first prize outcome. You know, however, we know that we haven't had the budget read because something's going on in the undergrowth. And we don't know is whose elbows have gone wide enough so that there's no overtaking on the bends, you know, but someone, you know, has been able to bring this to the halt or to the place that we find it. And, you know, we've already had a look at some of the speculation, you know, that there's suggestions that there was a tabled 2% VAT increase, et cetera, et cetera. What we do, you know, from now over the course of the next couple of weeks is we speculate again, and we try and figure out why this was brought to a grinding halt and what needs to happen in order to break the logjam.
Prof, you bring in the United States into some of the uncertainty conversations, and I want to look at this particular event in the context of our current relationship with the United States. Very tense relationship, to say the least, at the moment. How does this kind of cancellation potentially have, if any, a bearing on that relationship? I mean, we know that President Cyril Ramaphosa has said that are going to stand firm as South Africans. We will not be bullied on certain issues and certain matters. Mm-hmm. How do we reconcile that conversation with today's events and with the fact that the United States could potentially even see this as a position of weakness, that the ANC-led government of national unity no longer has the same positional advantage they may have enjoyed in the past?
I mean, that was exactly my thought. So, you know, to try and draw strong links between the saber rattling, you know, with the US, you know, making pronouncements and declarations on South Africa, I'm not sure that the parallels there are as clear or, you know, as direct. The however is absolutely, you know, this is not a show of strength. It's not a show of alignment. It shows a government that is not united and, you know, evidently sufficiently divided that we can't have the budget read. And that that's a weak hand. You can imagine if this were to transpire in another economy, you know, what our perspective would be if, you know, let's make it a grand one, you know, if the US couldn't get their stuff together and there's no a budget, or, you know, if Germany couldn't get their stuff together and there's no budget, you know, there would be a lot of tut-tutting and finger pointing. So this doesn't shower us in glory. This is not a show of strength, and it's obviously, you know, certainly not a show of unity.
Prof, while we are looking at this, going into the budget that we will now have tabled on the 12th of March, what needs to be said at that budget to not only kind of recover from this postponement from a market's perspective, but also to just reaffirm that we are still on the right track from a budget and from a fiscal point of view?
Jimmy, you know, the budget is something that happens behind closed doors, and it tends to be a ta-da moment where, you know, somewhere around the middle or second part of February each year, we have presented to us a whole bunch of things that have been hooked on the stove of public finance over, you know, since the last announcement. So it tends to be very much a behind closed doors process. And, you know, that's important so that tough decisions, tricky decisions can be made out of the public gaze. You know, where I want to sort of just reflect on that is one of the greatest antidotes to uncertainty and anxiety is communication. And I'm not quite sure how this is communicated in a way that it doesn't compromise the process or compromise any of the parties. But I can't help but think that if ever there were a time for clear communication on, you know, what the disagreement is about, what the unresolved issues are, and what will happen between now and then, you know, without revealing any hands, I think that they, you know, that could be one of the most important things that could happen right now in this moment.
Prof, before I let you go, I want to get your thoughts around the overall speculation that has been going around, that 2% VAT comment that you made a little earlier on. We saw that that was potentially what's been circulating in the media as well. At this stage, it's unconfirmed reports. We don't know what the minister was going to say because the minister never said it. Would that have been a good thing if he had said it?
Well, you know, look, let's just go backwards and see what happened with the last VAT increase. Where's that money, and how is it translated into the retirement of our national debt problem? So 2% VAT increase, you know, I have to put myself in the hypothetical here, but it's hard for me to imagine myself having, you know, been speaking to this afternoon, delighted about the 2% VAT increase, because that will settle the debt and that'll get us back into favor with the ratings agencies. It'll retire in our now very elevated debt servicing expenses, so on and so forth. The nub of the issue with South Africa's public finances is, I think it essentially boils down to three issues. The first is the economy simply hasn't been squared up to structurally. And so it doesn't matter what you do with public finances. We haven't resolved the structural challenges that get South Africa back into the business of 3% and 4% economic growth. Those policy moves become increasingly urgent the longer we take to put them in place. The second is our revenue net is getting thinner and thinner, and that's why, you know, all of these hints and suggestions that there's another way that we can catch fish with VAT being hiked by 2%. That revenue net needs to be redirected. And then the third challenge is the expenditure challenge, that we are spending increasingly poorly. And for a long time, you know, it has been clearly laid out how important it is that in particular we get our public sector wage bill under control. And there's two ways of doing that. The one is spending less on wage, but possibly even more importantly, spending the same and getting bang for buck on the public sector wage. Those are the things that need to happen, not more tax hikes, not clever ways of gathering revenue. That's only kicking the can down the road.
The economy needs to be reignited. It needs to grow, and it needs to grow by something that is greater than 0.something%. We'll leave the conversation there, Prof. Thanks as always for the time and for the insights. Professor Adrian Saville of the Gordon Institute of Business Sciences sharing his thoughts around the budget speech postponement and some of the permutations around that.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.